I want to thank Shauna for this lovely hat. That was very kind of her. The rest of you gave me much more civil gifts like cards. Thank you. So anyway, you know me, I'll never be embarrassed about doing anything since I've lost my hair. So anyway, so I just want to say thank you. For a milestone birthday, all of you driving by, your cards, your emails. Not many of you called me between 12 and 6. So we talked about that last Sunday. But some of you have restrained yourself and simply called me you old man. I know you wanted to say something else. So I just said thanks for being so gracious to me. We had a lovely time, and my best friend John and his wife Marissa have been up for the weekend. John and I have known each other since grade 4, and he still likes me, which is amazing. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. He was cracking a bunch of jokes at me this morning. I said, "You got to remember, anything you say, I'll have the last word in the pulpit." So he shut right down. He's been very quiet this morning. But anyway, you'll love to meet them. Nice to see all of you. And don't forget, next Sunday is our church anniversary, our 23rd anniversary, and we're going to be going right after the service here over to Tojo's. We're going to be having a real shindig. Don't forget to bring your lunch, your lawn chairs, your bathing suit, your family members, extra gas, because it's going to be a little further than we're used to. And we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to have ice cream treats and all kinds of good things. And Doug and Deanne are hosting us there. So it'll be a hootenanny. If it's a rain day, we'll go the next Sunday. But we're going to aim for next week. So I hope all of you can come. I think at this point we have over 60 people that have told me tentatively they're going to be there. So we're going to have a lot of fun. I also want to just give you a couple updates for this week. For prayer time at the church, 2 o'clock on Monday. And then, of course, Saturday night at 7. I also want to let you know, I've had a fellow in my community phone me, and he's got some living room chairs that he wants to donate to anybody who needs them. So if you need living room chairs, give me a call, and I'll give you his number. Also want to let you know, ladies are starting up. So that's 10 o'clock, ladies, on Wednesday. And then don't forget, Thursday night, we always meet here for our discussion, our Bible discussion night at 7 o'clock, and we always have a blast. Also want to give you some birthdays. Susan, a very happy birthday for Tuesday. Would you like my hat? You can have it if you'd like. We'd be happy to give it to you. And, of course, Colin and Mark Bailey, they have their 70th anniversary on Wednesday. So it's really exciting. And so that's going to be a tremendous blessing for them. This is his 89th birthday. Okay, so there's Colin Morgan. They were sitting on the front, and Steve, he's now living with them. He's retired as their son. He's now the bodyguard, and so he tracks everywhere they go, and he wears earphones so he can keep in touch with the other secret police. Oh my goodness! That was rough. Yeah, that was one of the after pictures. So, Monique, quickly tell us about your. Where are you, Monique? Tell us about your dog, because your dog's been about killing you, and you finally got him trained. He did a good job. So now they let him go in the car. So Bijou was there with everybody there. Anyway, so these are some of the pictures from the drive-bys, and I just wanted to tell you thanks for all your love and everything. And Jane took before and after pictures when I was 64 and after, so we'll have them next week. They've got to be processed. It's pretty serious. Anyway. I also want to just announce that, all right, anything else we need update on? To that young gold couple, thank you for doing the preliminary music this morning. It's nice to have you helping us today. So we're going to just take some notes for prayer and praise. So let's start with prayer. Suzanne, Richard, give us an update on your wife. She's been through a heck of a week. Yes. All right, so we're going to keep praying for your wife and all that she's going through. Thanks for your prayers. This week's going to be one heck of a week. We're moving. We were supposed to move Becca to Waterloo on Tuesday, and then we were supposed to move on Thursday and move everything to the storage unit on Friday. Well, now things are all changed, and we're trying to move Becca on Friday while we move. So, and my car's losing the transmission, and I've got the towing package, and I had a seized caliper Friday night, so I got to get in Tuesday morning to see if I can drive the car so we can take her. And anyway, it's just, please pray for me. I need counseling. So anyway, it's a crazy week. But I know many of you have said you would help us. So just give Jane a call. Updates are coming in hourly. We'll keep you posted. So the good news is we did get a storage unit on September the 1st. It's been quite exciting. I've nearly only locked myself in it twice. So this has been good. So thanks for all your prayers. But this is a crazy week, and then we got the anniversary next week. So if you don't mind, by the time we get to the anniversary, I'll be sitting in a chair and not saying much. Okay? Okay, so also want to just give you an update. While Monica is still having problems with her legs, she is doing really well and really, really upbeat. Had a nice chat with her. Margaret, of course, has seen the doctor this week to see if another treatment. She had finished her fifth radiation on Tuesday. She was looking terrific yesterday and very upbeat. Bob, he will be having another CAT scan, but he has also been doing really well. And he and Cavell were out last week, and he looked terrific. So praise the Lord for that. Okay, so that's Bob Rayford. So he is getting his CAT scan for his heart. So we'll get an update on that. And Sue's husband, Christine and her husband, they've lost their brother. So we want to pray for them. And Donna and Bruce, it's awfully good to see you back. Did you have a good month in Newfoundland? Yeah, I hear you met tons of people. And I was asking Bruce, I said, do you think you'd move back there? He goes, no, I'm not moving back to the Rock. Everybody knows your business. Everybody knows what's going on. I said, I get that one. Yeah. But anyway, we're glad you got home safely and that you had a good month. We sure missed you. All right, anything else that we need to update on our prayers notes? We're gonna pray for the kids in just a second. But Kathy's getting baptized next Sunday, by the way. So if there's anybody else who wants to be baptized, yeah, that's the plan. So that's exciting. So Kathy, this is a beginning of a new adventure for you. Well, you're among a lot of non-perfect people. Kathy, you're right at home. I mean, we're all here. Yeah. Anything else? Okay, I think we need to have all the boys come up here. All the boys and, oh, I guess the girls too. Is that all right? We have girls too and boys? Okay, so I have all the boys and girls. And do we have any teachers here today? All right. I'll tell you what. All the boys and girls, come on up here because we're going to pray for you. And if you're a retired teacher, do you want to stand? Because we'd like to pay tribute to you. Did you, any of you, Jim, I know you were a teacher. Anyone else a teacher? Any of you grateful you weren't a teacher? Yes. So Barry, you stand, we'll pray. Okay, so we're gonna pray for all these boys and girls, and we're gonna just pray they have a great school year. Come on up, guys. Come on. I've had my breakfast. I don't bite. Come on. That's good. Come on up. Here, you can stand beside me. You want to stand? Oh, nice shirt. I like your shirt. Cool. All right. Father, I just thank you for a new school year. And Lord, while many things don't change, we know for all our boys and girls that school is back that time. And we just pray that they will just be able to go to school and enjoy being with their friends, that they will be able to understand their lessons. There won't be a lot of stress in their classroom. We pray for all their teachers that they will do their best to help each one. And Lord, we pray for all the parents and all the changes that are taking place after a very busy summer. And so we just lift these children up and our retired teachers who can identify with them. We just all together say thank you for their lives and may they be an incredible blessing in whatever school and whatever classroom you place them. And we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everybody. Toodaloo. Have a lovely kids' church. Do you want everybody to go out now with you, Christina? Okay, so boys and girls, you're all going out with Christina. All right. I think family will pray for everything else later. I want to get the worship team up here. So come on up, team, and Suzanne, you get the hat for this week, okay? So you can give it back later, but you've got to keep it now, girl. How many of you remember growing up in churches, and we sang one of two songs at some point through the service, usually at the offering time? And one of them we used to sing was, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." And every time I finished singing that as a boy, I wondered what the ghost looked like. All right. I'm glad we now call him the Holy Spirit. I'm a little more down. But we sang that one. The other one you may have sung, and we sang this a lot, is "We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be, all that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee." And so I remember taking up the offering was very sober and somber. I mean, we sang these words. And you know, it's funny how many times we sing songs or we read scripture and we don't have it impinge on us till one day we go, oh, an aha moment. And for me, the aha moment came when I realized in later years, all that I have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. All that I have is whose? His. And I was reading Timothy this week, and I wanted to share this with you. So in 1 Timothy 6, Paul is trying to say something to this young preacher. And I think as I'm getting closer to retirement, I'm thinking about, you know, young, and isn't it amazing how quickly we grow old? Like, wasn't it last year we were just 20? Or starting into our occupations or our jobs, and you know, it's hard to believe that in a month I'll have been preaching 39 years. But I remember as a young preacher taking Timothy, and again, I was thinking of this week, and Paul says in 1 Timothy 6, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be what? Content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving," the craving for what? The love of money. "Through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness and godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. Fight the what? Good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Look at verse 6 for a minute. "But godliness with what? Contentment is what? Great gain." I am amazed when you think about it that 90% of the world is poorer than we are. Just think about that for a minute. More than 90% of the world is poorer than you and I are. And so I made a list this week of just how wealthy we are. We have strawberries in winter. We have air conditioning in summer. We have Sirius satellite radio with no commercials. Oh, do I love that. We have electric bug zappers. Kathy, did you bring your bug zapper by any chance today? I was thinking about you. We can wave a wand, zip, 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 and they all disappear. We have pillow top mattresses. The only problem with that is you can't flip them over because there's no pillow top on the other side. Oh, let's complain about that. Okay. We have savings accounts. We have checking accounts. We have so many ice cream stores in this town that literally you could work your way through town and eat ice cream all day. Has anybody tried that? Anybody? John and I stopped in an ice cream place the other day to have ice cream, and they only had 17 flavors left. It was kind of depressing. Our favorites weren't there. So we had to go for that soft white swirl stuff. You know, what do we have in this country? We have absolutely, almost, absolutely everything we could even possibly imagine. Richard bought a new machine for his wife. It's a magnetic therapy machine. It's got 26 lasers in it. He showed it to me. Phenomenal. You know, when you think about all the different things we have and that we use, and yet for many Christians, what is lacking? A sense of contentment. Why? If we've got all these things, why aren't we the happiest, most content people in the world? I want you to think about that for a second. I think if you look at verses 8, but if we have food and clothing, with these we should be what? Content. But how many people are? Or aren't? How many of us, when we go to a restaurant and they go, "Oh, I'm sorry, but we're out of that food," we go, "Oh, man." instead of going, what, I only got 16 other options? Oh, okay. We were out for dinner the other night, and they got the options on a big board. You know what my problem was? I wanted about six of them. I mean, I'm getting fatigued with all the choices in life. You know, I remember when a Russian soldier who was a defector came to Canada, and he was speaking at a full gospel businessman's supper one night. And, of course, through a translator, they asked him, how have you found Canada? And he said the biggest problem was going into the grocery store. And, of course, the translator was translating this because people were asking him questions. And he said, when I walked into the grocery store and realized that there were more than 20 types of toothpaste, I broke out in tears. I literally was overwhelmed by all the choices for cereal, for breads, and he made a list. And I thought, really? And then he went on to say, we're lucky to have one type of toothpaste if it happens to be on the shelves. We don't realize how much we have things. We have open churches. You and I can come, and we can worship the Lord openly. I wonder how many Afghan Christians are meeting openly this Sunday. We've got over 50% of Christians in the world are considered to be in high risk or high persecuted areas. And you and I just wondered maybe if we'd get a parking spot. So I want to talk about contentment because as we head into the fall, I think sometimes we need to remind ourselves of the big picture. How then should we live as Christians? And so I want to remind you of several things. But first, I want to talk to you about a fellow that was in our church in Etobicoke. This gentleman was one of the most discontented people I'd ever met. He always complained about something. I remember he and his wife liked bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwiches. And I remember one time he told me, he says, you know what, there isn't even enough bacon on my sandwich when my wife makes it. Okay, well, whatever. So one day he phoned me up and he said, John, he said, I need help budgeting. I'm in real stress. I'm over budgeted every month, and I don't know what to do. I said, do you have a budget? He goes, no. Okay. He'd been married over 35 years. So I went over to his house. Now, this gentleman, I've never seen anything like it. He had two of everything. I mean, two of everything. Two grass whippers, two ping pong tables. He had two shovels. He had two spades. He had two cars. He had a summer car and a winter car. I don't think he had two sets of snow tires, but he had literally two of everything. And so his garage was one of these double car garages, and when you open the garage, what did you see? Stuff. Like, just stuff. But he packaged everything in two. So two pitchforks and two rakes, and you can literally go around the garage and see the two of everything. So I said, of course, I don't know, it seemed to me the obvious question was, why do you have two of everything? You know what he said? Well, in case I need a second one. And then he clarified, well, in case one breaks. I don't know about you, but I was stunned. Like, I'd never seen anybody that, and you walked in the house, he even had two organs. His wife would play one, and he would play one, and if they decided to change it, I mean, so he says, okay, what do I do? First thing I thought of was dynamite, but I didn't say that. But I said to him, okay, let's talk about everything. And so I looked around, and I started to cost out things in my mind of what he had. By the time I just finished looking at the garage, and we looked at everything, I said, I can save you $800 a month just with the doubles and what you need to do to upkeep the doubles. He said, really? I said, I can save you $800 a month. Do you know what his response was? He didn't talk to me for 3 months. Came to church, wouldn't talk to me. Finally, things thawed out a little better, and we had a better relationship later on in years. But here was something, and what was fascinating is I would say he was the most discontented man in our entire church. And yet he had two of everything. Now, for the life of me, I couldn't figure out why he had two ping pong tables. I thought, you know, like, you know, play. But anyway, that's for another day. So the reality is that the issue, as Paul is saying to Timothy, is the contentment is lost because there's a love for money or things to buy. It's the love for stuff. Now notice he doesn't say it's the actual money, because we all need money to live, don't we? We all need to pay our bills, we all need to buy groceries, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But what happens is, and this is what I think this fella that in Toronto, what hit him is the more he got, the less he was what? Content. Because for whatever reason, getting all that stuff was like security to him. Or, you know, and I understand hoarding a little bit. You know, when you think, well, if I have that, I'll be okay. If, you know, if I have two snow shovels and one cracks, and I'll, you know, or, you know, I mean, he even had two snowblowers. I mean, it was amazing. The reality that comes out of that is, where is your focus? Is your focus on the Lord who is continuing to provide and bless us, or is your focus on, well, if something breaks down, I can go to the garage and pick it up? You know, we need to be, because that was very subtle. He really was discontented because I think he had a horizontal viewpoint instead of a what? A vertical viewpoint. He wasn't focused on the Lord first. He was focused on, I feel secure because of all my stuff. What's interesting is Jane and I have been downsizing and getting rid of things and selling things, and I'm realizing it's really easy to get a lot of stuff. And some stuff lasts a long time. We're getting rid of a freezer that we bought the first year we were married. Boy, they don't make freezers like that anymore. And so we've given stuff away, some stuff we've sold. And the interesting thing is how many times we've looked around the house and we go, what did we really need that for? And moving forward, we're really going to need that again. And very often, we often say to ourselves, why do we actually have this? I mean, you need chairs to sit on and a table to eat at and silverware. But, you know, I think there was a time that we had like three sets of silverware. Because when we first married, of course, you had to get all the fancy. You know, you had to get your special Shenandoah set, and you had to have your special set for formal dining. I mean, my mother was really big on that. In their generation, you always had your formal dishes and everything, and so we had all those things. And then, boy, I love Corral. You know, I mean, you scrape it off, throw in the dishwasher, we're good to go. And then we got to the point where we said, well, what are we keeping our formal dishware for? So why don't we sell it? Nobody wanted to buy it. Because now there was a glut on the market of all the people getting rid of, and cornflour glasses. You know, when I was 10 years old, I was given the privilege of helping to wash dishes. That was marvelous. And my aunts and my grandma would be in the kitchen after supper, and I'd be washing, and I always got the same thing. Don't break the cornflour. I'll tell you, I held my breath every time I had one of those glasses, because I don't know how they could make them so fragile without cracking them. I mean, and then we've got, I don't know, 24 cornflour glasses now? Well, we found out the Durham County Museum will take them. Marvelous. Because nobody else would. I mean, stuff. And some of you have had boxes in your house for how many years? 5, 30. 10, 15, 30. Do I hear 45? 30, 30, going once, going twice. 35, 35, 30. I've been going through a lot of my notes, and part of my, I'm going, what am I saving this for? Like what? Now, I've saved every letter that I've received from anybody in my entire life. Now, here's my logic for this. When I retire, I'm going to sit down and read them all again. No. Shut up, Norm. I don't appreciate those unencouraging words. But isn't it interesting how we think? Well, I'm saving this for a rainy day, or I'll use this, you know, if I have grandchildren, or you know, if I ever get a big enough piece of property, I'll need a ride-on lawnmower. It's interesting because at the end of the day, it's all stuff. And how many times do we start to worry about stuff? Okay, I've got to get that fixed, and okay, when can I take my car into the? I'm finding that sometimes it's absolutely exhausting looking after stuff, because right now I'm covering 3 cars for insurance. So, of course, in August, had to apply to get my sticker, right? Well, it's great. I did it all online. And then the bottom line comes out at about $2 million. You go, how come? Now, before, we used to have 5 cars. Our driveway used to look like a used car parking lot. But now I can legitimately say my wife has a car, and Becca has a car, and I have a car. Probably for a little bit longer, I'm not sure how long. But how many of you have said, why do we even have 2 cars? Now that you're retired, why do we need 2 cars? the his and hers models? I don't know. Again, it's about stuff. And what does the Lord expect? The reality is to recognize if the stuff is keeping us from contentment, what's wrong? We've lost our Christ focus. Now, here's another thing that the Lord's been really teaching me with all the things we've been going through and getting ready for this temporary move. The question is very clearly, who gives you your wealth? God does. God gives us, and technically, everything we have, because he gives us the ability to earn it and to procure it or whatever. I was thinking not too long ago about a situation that happened in my family. Years ago, there was a family falling out on my side of the family. And for years, Jane and I would go on Friday mornings on our day off when we were newly married, and then we had two little children at the time. We would go to my aunt's house in Dundas, and they were two single ladies, older ladies, and we would work all Friday and Saturday. We'd trim hedges and cut grass, and we'd fix their pool and do all kinds of things. And we had a lovely time with them. It was nice, and you know, they usually had favorite treats like certain kinds of soup or, you know, ham sandwiches and things. And it was really nice. So for years we did that. That was kind of like what we did on our time off. And then in 2011, my one aunt passed away. And so the funeral took place. It was, and I was very close to this aunt. She and I were really, really close together. And then I got word that I'd been removed out of her will. I went, oh. And that bothered me, first of all, because I thought we had good rapport. And then it started to bother me because I didn't have an answer. Nobody gave me an answer. So I was getting really perturbed. And do you know when you don't have an answer, you get really agitated because you're trying to think what the solution is? So anyway, I was praying and I said to the Lord, I don't understand. I understand why I've been locked out of my aunt's will. And the Lord said to me, who gives you your money? I said to him, that's not the question I want an answer for. You ever talk to the Lord like that? You play tennis? Talk to John. He's a great tennis player. So I'm starting to lobby now with the Lord. Well, Lord, yeah, okay, well, yeah, you do, but why didn't my aunt leave me in the will? Who gives you your money? Well, I bandied that about. So he said it three times. Who gives you your money? After he said it the third time, I started to get it. And I said, Lord, you do. I understand Peter when the Lord said to him three times. It seems that for men, a lot of times, they need to be told three times. Ladies, keep that in mind, please. Three times. It usually hits after about three times. So the Lord said to me the third time, who gives you your money? I said, you do. And then he said, have I not exceedingly blessed you? And I went, yes, you have. And then he said to me, it's not your aunt so-and-so who gives you your money, it's me. I went, wow. And that profoundly shaped me back in 2011. Because I don't know how you are, but sometimes we start to think, yeah, this is my job, and I've earned this money, and you know, and I got this promotion, and therefore I get this pay raise. And who gives you your money? The Lord does. And so I came away from that with just thinking, I need to now focus on my blessings. If he's exceedingly blessed me, how has he blessed me? That is, because when you think about your blessings, are they not priceless? Can you put a price tag on your spouse or your kids, or if you're an uncle or aunt, your nieces or your nephews or your grandchildren? Can you really put a price on everything? Can I put a price tag on this church family? No. You're all priceless to me. I'm so glad to be part of this family. I'm so glad that in 1998, the Lord decided to found this church. And here we are today. We are all being blessed exceedingly in so many different ways. I watched a bunch of you drive down my street. I mean, what non-Christian things would do a drive-by and honk and hoot and carry on and call you an old whatever and throw signs and cry? I mean, think about it. Are we not blessed far beyond a price tag or an amount of money? Contentment. comes out of this. And so then the thing that hit me was, am I really and truly content with God? Am I doing what he's asked me to do? And then I started to think about Jesus. And you remember in the sermon in Matthew 6, he says the following, and I think this is worth repeating just today in light of this idea of contentment. So, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For what? The Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all, right? Okay, let's move on. But seek first his kingdom, or God's kingdom, and whose righteousness? The righteousness that comes from him. And how many things? All these things will be added unto you. But then what's going to happen? He's working in our lives. We're growing spiritually. We're in a better relationship with him. And like we've been talking about Peter and his boat, did God take Peter's boat away, or did God then use Peter's boat for divine purposes? Is God not going to use our house for divine purposes, our trailer for divine purposes, our car for divine purposes, anything? Because we what? We're going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I think we need to remind ourselves as we head into the fall, where are our eyes? And are we truly content? I want to share as I conclude this morning with the story of Bob Thompson. And this is an amazing situation. I want you to hear this carefully. Bob ran the largest asphalt and cement business in Michigan for 40 years, okay? In that time, he pushed his workers for 6 days a week from April to December. 6 days a week, April to December. Because of their hard work and because of their sweat, he became a very wealthy man. When he retired after the 40 years, he decided that he would give his 550 current and retired employees $128 million from his gains. He would give this money out to all these people. Even surviving spouses got checks. Well, of course, that generated an interview. And the interviewer said to him, "Why did you give away so much of your fortune?" His reply was, "You need to realize that the people around you have gone through all the pain and suffering with you. I wanted to pay them back. I think they deserved it." Now, to me, would you say he had a love of money? Now, he was a wealthy man. He made a lot of money. But what does that tell you about his heart when it came to everybody who worked for him? I love the people more than I love the money. When I was a chaplain at Sunset Manor, do you know what changed 1 year when I was working? The county decided to evaluate every aspect of the chaplaincy program to see if they could increase the profit margin. What do you think happened to the meals? Subtle little changes. Joyce and I worked together at that location. They even changed things for staff. You could no longer go in on your lunch break and have a bowl of soup. They even took the soup away. Because what happened is they lost the reality of value of people for the sake of profit. Bob Thompson, again, teaches us that the present reality that he showed is that everything that is done now has what? Has an eternal value. Is it about the money? I don't think so. I think in Bob's case, he decided that people were the most important asset, and he wanted to say thank you. So family, Paul wraps up this scripture with Timothy, and I want to close with these verses again from 1 Timothy chapter 6 when he says, "But as for you, O man of God," what? "Flee from these things." And what does flee mean? Just tell me, what does flee mean?
Run away.
Yeah, it means take to flight. It doesn't mean, oh yeah, okay, I kind of just ignore it. It means literally run in the other direction, because you know what? We're all susceptible to the same thing. We're all tempted by the love of money and the idea for stuff. Flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, gentleness, and steadfastness. And then he goes on in verse 12 to say, "Fight the good fight of faith. take hold of, now here's the key, of what? Of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Family, don't ever lose the eternal perspective in all that you're doing. Okay, you may have to go out and buy a leaf blower this fall. But have you thought of it in terms of how can I even use the leaf blower to honor the king? Even my non-Christian neighbors go around with their implements and help everybody else. We as Christians should be more out there than even the non-Christians, because what? We have a sense of contentment, and everything we want to do is to honor the Lord. So pay your bills, earn your money, but at the end of the day, it's all about eternity. And so I want to again remind you, we give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. Let's pray. Father, we're heading into a busy season, and there's going to be a lot of activities. We're going to see a lot of things happening. We've got a lot of changes in our society. We're going to the polls to vote in an election. Our young people are going back to school. Many people are returning to the job front. There's going to be things that need to be purchased and things that need to be done. Father, in all that we do, we are determined not to lose our sense of contentment, which comes from seeking you first before anything else. And my prayer for all of us is that we indeed will continue to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, knowing that all these things will be added unto us. Lord, help us to keep a vertical focus over a horizontal focus. Help us to see the eternal picture before the temporal picture. Because the things around us, no matter how much stuff we have, are temporary and fading, and rust and moth consume. And so, Lord, we are very grateful for how you blessed us. We've been blessed exceedingly, and we're thankful for that. But as we continue to serve you in these upcoming days, help us to be a witness, even with the stuff we have, so that men and women will find Christ, because we continue to love them and love you to the best of our ability. And so we give thee but thine own. Whate'er the gift may be, all that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. Family, I want to give you a moment as we continue to pray, and I want you just to take time and think about your own personal situation. Maybe there's discontentment, or maybe there's things that you're putting, and you know you're putting them ahead of the Lord. I want you just to have a little talk with him right now. And maybe, Don, if you would just come and play for a minute, or Tonga, and let's just take this opportunity to say, Lord, I want to put some things right with you today. Bless your name. So, Lord, we're heading out into another busy week. Would you go before us? Would you give us the strength and the energy to do the tasks that you're calling us to do? For some, it may be in the home. For others, it may be in a specific workplace. But in all of it, Lord, help us to keep a great sense of contentment, because you have blessed us exceedingly. And we as a family say to you, thank you for all you do. And all God's people said, amen. Bless the Lord.